This is the What a Love For podcast for Thursday, June 18th, 2020. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the What a Love For podcast. And today I'm talking to my friend Jacqueline. You can find Jacqueline on Instagram at half of Jacqueline. And Jacqueline's one of those people that I just met over the last few months. I was introduced to her through previous guest Jack, also Amanda. And I didn't know much about Jacqueline. If you heard the Flying Pig episode that I did with Amanda, Jack, and Jacqueline back in May, she was on that one. And Amanda was kind of like doing a mini interview with her. So like I started to learn a lot about her through that podcast. And a lot of stuff that she was saying really kind of caught my attention. So I really wanted to have a solo episode with her and just let her share her story about where she's been with weight loss. And I just wanted a little bit more background information about who Jacqueline really is. And you really get that in this episode. You really find out about her academics and her athletics and, you know, her weight loss journey. And like we talk about a little bit hunting and just her stuff after, you know, after having a kid, and you find out a lot about Jacqueline in this episode. And I really had a lot of fun recording this one. Like I said, it was really interesting to learn more about her. And I hope to have her back on again. We can talk about a few more topics that we didn't get to cover in this episode because I didn't want the episode to run like extremely long. So I want to bring her back on and we'll have another conversation. So if you want to follow Jacqueline on Instagram, you can follow Jacqueline on Instagram at half of Jacqueline. And with that, we'll get right into the episode.
How are you?
Good. You?
Like I was saying before, like it's been a long day, and it, like you said, it felt like it was just never going to end, but it's done now.
Thank God.
Yeah. It's been like just this whole quarantine thing, and it's just like making days way longer than it usually is.
Yeah, and I don't get it. I work from home all the time.
Yeah.
So the days are the same time. But may this last forever and ever and ever.
This is true.
And I'm so much busier. You would think with being busier, time would go by faster.
No. That never happens like that. Like when it feels like you're busier, the time goes by even slower.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I totally get that because it just felt like that. This whole time, it was like okay, and then once this whole quarantine stuff started, I was like, man, these days seem longer and longer. And then like the time between like getting off work and then going back to work, it seems like way shorter.
Exactly. I literally feel like I work, sleep, and then work.
Yeah.
And then weekends are like void.
Yeah, because they go by so quick, and you're like, yeah, that just blinked, and it's over.
Yep.
So I wanted to bring you on because I had you on the one of the Flying Pig episodes last month to kind of peel back the curtain. Like we're recording this in May, so like literally we just recorded that episode like a few weeks ago. So you guys are hearing it like 2 weeks after we're actually recording this. So I wanted to bring you on because I had planned to record with you solo when we were in Cincinnati, and I was like, well, I still want to interview her because I don't know much about you. The only reason I know about you is because of Jack and Amanda, mostly because of Jack.
Those people,
yeah. And
well, I actually met Amanda through Jack, so Jack just seems to be the common denominator here.
Jack is always a common denominator with everybody. Like, everybody knows Jack.
Yeah. Yep, basically.
So, yeah. So I wanted to bring you on, and I kind of wanted to kind of just, I wanted to see what your story was about. Because when we kind of set this up, I went back and looked at your Instagram, and your Instagram is a lot about food and mountain biking and outdoors. And so I kind of wanted to figure out who Jacqueline is. So the first question I always ask everybody is, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Northern Virginia area, and I'm sure you're not familiar with that area, no. But the outskirts of the DC area, so Fairfax, Virginia, so a very city upbringing, mm-hmm. living, you know, 20 feet from your neighbor.
That's true. And what was your childhood like?
Oh my gosh, absolutely insane. I was a middle child, one of three.
Okay.
Older brother, younger sister. My parents both, you know, worked full time. My mom juggled dealing with three kids doing three different activities at three different places. You know, we're all 2 years apart, like mm-hmm. all over the place. I was one of those people who excelled academically and in sports. I played lacrosse. I was on swim team. I mean, you name it, I did it. We were very active kids, Girl Scouts, 4-H. I don't even, everything.
Were all three of y'all in sports or anything like that? Or just you and, was it just mostly you?
No, all of us. Like.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we were all on swim team. Not all of us year round, but I swam year round. We all played lacrosse, and that was one or two seasons out of the year, you know, in addition to the swim team. My brother did Boy Scouts. My sister and I both did Girl Scouts. I was the only one who did 4-H, I think. But yeah, no, we were always, all of us were always active in doing things. My sister slowed down a little bit in high school. She didn't really do anything in high school. But, you know, my brother continued playing lacrosse in high school. I played lacrosse in high school. I swam in high school. You know, we were all pretty busy all the time.
Were y'all pushed into that? Or y'all just, like, y'all saw things that y'all were interested in and just it just kind of sparked that interest?
Honestly, I think we were pushed at a younger age to do things, mm-hmm. Which is why we did so much different things when we were younger. Like, we did dance. Which we did not like and did not continue doing, you know, and we might've been encouraged strongly to try things that other kids were doing, like the swim team.
Yeah.
My brother started that and we were encouraged strongly to start it. And I loved it. So I stuck with it. And you know what? Same with lacrosse. He started with lacrosse. I started playing lacrosse after he did, didn't even have girls lacrosse at the time. It was crazy. And so we kind of stuck with the things that we liked. We might have been encouraged to start those before we really wanted to.
Yeah.
But once we found something we liked, we were definitely supported and, you know, following through with those avenues.
Yeah. What drew you to lacrosse? Because that's the sport that not a lot of people know about. So it's just interesting that kind of drew you in.
It's a great outlet to get your aggression out.
I mean, you literally
get to follow people around the field with a stick and hit them with it. And like I said, I started with boys lacrosse because I didn't have girls lacrosse.
Yeah.
And you literally hit the other people. Girls lacrosse is a little more finesse to the game. You hit their sticks and not the people. But I mean, it's a very active sport. I tried softball as a child. And I couldn't stand there and do nothing. It was just boring to me. Lacrosse keeps you involved the entire game. And I played center. And so you literally ran the entire game. There was no standing there and, you know, waiting for the other team to do something.
Yeah. That's just very interesting because I don't know many people. I know, like, maybe on one hand, people who have played lacrosse. So it's just interesting to see why you started doing lacrosse and how you enjoyed it so much.
Oh, it was amazing. I loved it. My son actually played lacrosse when we lived back in Northern Virginia. And I coached his team. Like, that's how much I loved it.
Wow.
Yeah. and after playing women's lacrosse for so many years, going back to men's lacrosse was crazy. But you know, they needed coaches and I had lacrosse experience. So I stepped up and drove an hour, 3 days a week to lacrosse practice for him. So
yeah,
it's awesome. I loved it. You get the adrenaline going and contact sports like that. And it just feeds, you know, the desire to keep going back.
Yeah. So with all this discipline in sports, like, how did that kind of make it into your academics? So you say you were kind of best of both worlds, like you were academic and you were an athlete. So how did that discipline in sports really get into your academics, or did it lead into the opposite direction?
No. So I was always the straight A honor roll student. Like, I wanted to do well in school. So I did anything and everything I possibly could to do good. And when you got into competitive sports, you had to keep your grades up. And so it wasn't even an option. Like for lacrosse, we literally had study hall, or, you do your homework directly after school together with your team before you go to practice, because you have to keep your grades up.
Yeah.
And I'm one of those all or nothing people. Like, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it all the way. And so I'm like, I'm not just going to get a 3.0 to stay on the team. I'm going to get a 4.0 to stay on the team. I just always had that all or nothing, I guess, drive. And if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it all the way. And so I know some people get distracted with the training and such for sports, and it kind of takes away from their academics, or the sportsmanship, the camaraderie with the teams kind of takes away from academics. But growing up in Fairfax County, very prestigious schools, like, they're all about academics. And so academics were always put before sports. And my parents, my mom also instilled in us that, we have to face the facts that unless I get a scholarship for golf, just basically golf, there's no way I'm going to get a scholarship in any other sport. I might as well try for academics.
Yeah.
And so that was always important for us in school too. So
that's just very interesting that you... That I don't know many people who were like good at both. Like, they were like super academic and athletic. It's always one or the other. I've never seen anybody who's both, and that's very rare.
I never even thought about it till you just pointed that out.
Yeah, I've just never seen that, because anytime I've ever talked to anybody who was either in sports or in academics, like, they were like, either I'm not in sports or I was never good at academics and they were good at the other. So they didn't have that balance that you had where you were good at both.
Yeah. And until you just pointed that out, I had never thought about it. And I am sitting here and I can't think of someone who is good in both.
Yeah. I mean, that's just a special breed. That's like a very small percentage of people who have that, the academics and that sports like mindset.
Yeah, I never even thought about it. I'm kind of sitting there baffled. I'm like, well, yeah, you're right. I don't know. I guess it's that mentality. It really doesn't have anything to do with athleticism or with, education. It's kind of the mentality you have going into something. And like I said before, I wouldn't put my brain or my mind to anything that I wouldn't give 100% to. So to me, it just seemed like you had to. If you were going to try, you had to.
Yeah. And so how were you in your social life in like middle school and high school? Were you very social, or were you just kind of like into the sports and the academics, and that was where your focus was?
Yeah, that's probably where I dropped the ball. I moved, my parents got divorced and I moved my seventh grade year. Mm-hmm. And so, in elementary and middle school, I kind of had like the same friends that I had had my entire life. And it just one or two, like I didn't have a whole lot. And then I moved and kept one.
Yeah.
And she was a year or two ahead of me and wasn't really into sports or academics. And so I kind of lost touch with her and never really made friends in high school. I mean, I hung out with some of the sports team folks, basically just when I was swimming or playing lacrosse, though. Now that you bring it up, let's put it this way. I don't talk to a single person now from my youth. Yeah. Not from elementary, not from middle, not from high school. Not a single person. So I definitely was not in a, you know, a group or like, so social life wasn't my priority. If you didn't play sports, you probably didn't see me, but maybe once a week.
Yeah.
I've never been a real social person.
No, I mean, I get that because your head was like into the things that you were in love with. So like I totally get that. I totally get that your head was completely into your sports and it was completely into school because those are the things that you really saw as most important. And so you put everything into it. Like you said, you put everything into anything you do. You don't do anything half-assed.
Yeah.
I totally get that. Cause like I said, I don't know many people like that, but I also know that they were either or, and if they were either or, they were like completely into it. And so like something else was taken off of it.
Exactly. And I mean, to be honest with you, now that you state it like that, that's probably why I didn't really get along with a lot of people in any of my groups that I was involved in, mm-hmm. because they weren't so dedicated, I would say, the way I was to those levels. Like, you know, if you play lacrosse and you were an athlete, you hung out with the lacrosse players.
Yeah.
Outside of, you know, lacrosse, but I was focusing on academics if I wasn't playing lacrosse. And not to mention, I was on a long distance relationship with my boyfriend at the time. So I had no desire to, you know, go out and look for boys or anything, which probably took away from some of my social life in high school as well.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally get that. So did you continue playing sports and did you go to college?
I did. So I actually went to college for art, stupidly. I wanted to be a photographer, and photography was my third love, between, you know, academics and lacrosse and swimming. And I fell in love with photography in high school. I took every single photography class there was, black and white, color, digital imagery, like Bryce, AutoCAD, everything you could possibly do with photography and computer, you know, digital design I did.
Yeah.
So I was convinced I was going to be a photographer. And so I went to college to get a degree in photography. And I hated it. So I turned down the opportunity to go to college for lacrosse and turned down academic opportunities to go out of state, pay way more to get a degree in something that would essentially lead me absolutely nowhere. I did play club level lacrosse and club swim in college. They didn't have like NCAA team they still don't. At that school. And so the club level was kind of not for me because these people weren't committed 100%. And so I stopped. Like, it was 1 year. I didn't even finish the season. Like, it was just not for me. It wasn't the same thing. It wasn't the same drive. So that's kind of where my sports fizzled out.
Yeah. Did you just not decide to go to that certain school because they didn't have the like the photography program, or was it just like you were just kind of burnt out
on? No. So I had two choices for photography on the East Coast, one in West Virginia and one in Georgia. And Georgia was too far away from my boyfriend.
Okay. there it is.
So, and by the way, way more expensive. So Savannah yeah. College of Art and Design would have been the one in Georgia, and their outrageous tuition. And then Shepherd College, which is now Shepherd University in West Virginia, although it was out of state, was way more affordable. And paying for my own college out of pocket, that was the option for me.
Yeah. So you say you only, how many, did you go all 4 years to college, or did you?
No, ma'am.
So you were done after like a semester, or
I finished a year.
Okay.
I finished a year and decided that college wasn't for me. And I honestly don't know. I don't know if I was burnt out or if I was just done with it or if I realized, well, I did realize that having a degree in art was absolutely useless. And being in a liberal arts school and having to do other art media when your love is photography kind of makes you hate all other forms of art.
Yeah.
Because I'm not artistic. I can't draw. I can't paint. I can't sculpt to save my life. But I have an eye behind the camera. And I talked myself into the fact that I'd go nowhere with photography. And I was watching these seniors, how the art program was laid out there. I had classes with seniors. You didn't have to take these art classes in a particular order. Like you didn't have to take the art history classes your first year. You could have taken them your last year. So I found myself in a lot of classes with seniors who had no jobs at graduation. And that to me was just baffling. How could you spend 4 years or more in college and not have something solid to go into in the art world? These people were struggling to find galleries to put their work into. They were struggling to find people to do their work for, depending on what they were doing. And I was like, well, that's no life for me.
Yeah.
So I left. I did 1 year. I left. I moved in with my boyfriend. And then got a job with the government a year later, and that's what I've been doing since then.
That's crazy. And yeah, how long have you been with that job?
Since 2007, so wow. 13 years.
Yeah.
Did I do the math right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This 13 years.
This will be the 13th year. Yeah.
Yeah. So I literally locked out. My boyfriend at the time, now husband, was in college, and I helped him finish up his degree, for a year and a half, year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved back to Northern Virginia, and, you know, I did some odd-end jobs, and I was found an ad in the newspaper, you know, those things that people don't read anymore. applied for this job with the government, you know, bottom of the barrel, entry level. I absolutely hated it, but you know, I stuck it out and
like you always do.
Yeah, exactly. 100%, right? I stuck it out and I'm still with them now. Obviously not bottom of the barrel anymore. And after living in Northern Virginia and working in DC at headquarters for a while, I ended up getting a gig where I could do it from home. So I now work from home 100%.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your weight loss. When did weight ever an issue for you, or is it something that's just in the last 10 years or so?
I've been a fat kid my whole life.
Okay.
My whole life, even through swimming and lacrosse, no matter how active I was always overweight. Probably why I hated dance, because literally you're in a leotard and everyone's looking at your flaws.
Yeah.
And no matter how good you are, they're still judging you on your looks. Now for swimming, you can show someone off by being good. You're still in a swimsuit, but you can still show them how amazingly athletic you are.
Mm-hmm.
And how fast you can be, even if you're overweight. And with lacrosse, like, so not only was I overweight, but I was also the big kid, like the tall kid. I was easily a foot taller than most kids in elementary and in middle school. It wasn't until high school that people started catching up to me. And so I was just, you know, a giant out there on the field for lacrosse. And so that kind of was an advantage for me, which is probably why I became the center, because I could just run down the field and literally people would move out of the way when yep. they're, you know, younger. So no, I struggled with my weight my entire life. My pre-pregnancy heaviest was probably my junior year in high school. Senior year in high school. you know, the educational stress and things of that sort, and college and stuff like that. And then I got to college, and my my roommate was there on scholarship for basketball. And so she's going to the gym, you know, every day, practice, whatever. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't gain the freshman 15. And so, you know, I was doing extra swimming, going to the gym and stuff. And I managed to keep most of it off, not gain too much. And then, you know, after college, moving in with Billy, like, we kind of just ate what we wanted, did what we wanted. I gained some weight there. Then we got married. So I lost like a bunch of weight before we got married, but not enough. You know, I look back at my wedding pictures. I'm like, oh my gosh, what was I thinking?
Yeah, because I saw when I was looking through your Instagram, you had a caption about how, like, around your wedding day, like right before you got married, you were trying to lose weight, and you say you lost a little bit, but it wasn't a lot.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't enough, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But I was never really taught how to view food. Food was always. I don't know, growing up low income family, like, you ate what you could eat. It didn't matter if it had nutritional value or not. Like, no joke, macaroni and cheese and hot dogs was a well-balanced meal for us. Yeah. Like,
no, I get it.
I never learned to eat properly or learned good nutrition. And I did Weight Watchers from like the time I was in middle school with my mom, because that's what she did. And they don't teach you to eat right. They just teach you to find the lowest points, which means if you're smart like me and you can trick the system, you can find lots of low point food. Like, there's ways to add fiber. You add fiber to anything, the points went down. Like, it was a trick. It was a game. It was literally a game. How much can I fit into these points? And it didn't make you healthy. It wasn't until, fast forward, I had my son, and I was at my absolute largest, outside of pregnancy. After I had my son, and I said, I'm not going to be like this for my son's life, for the rest of my life.
What was your weight then?
I never saw the scale when I was pregnant, but I know I hit 300. When I went in to get, I was induced. When I went in to get induced, they weigh you to give you the induction medicine. Mm-hmm. And the look on the nurse's face was just enough to tell me that I had gone over 300.
And you knew.
And so after I had my son, like a good couple months, so no more excuse for the baby weight, I was at 278. And my mom was going to Weight Watchers, and I said, you know what, I'll go with you just to go to the meetings to encourage you for camaraderie, you know, for the support, you know, to just to see how other people are doing it and to encourage you so you can encourage me back. So I went to the meetings, but I did not follow the plan.
I did that same thing. I did Weight Watchers for a little bit, and I found that the meetings were super beneficial.
Yeah. It's a great support team.
Yeah.
So I went to the meetings. I counted calories. So I didn't count points. I counted calories because, and it's not just calories. I realized that there was more value in food and calories than there was in points. Like I said, the Weight Watchers system at the time, and I don't know what it is now, it's stupid, but all you had to do was find high fiber food, basically, and it kind of like voided out the fat, which is where the calories were coming from, and it was a game. So I focused on, I counted calories, but I focused on whole foods. And I don't know how Jack does it. I love my meat. I can't go without my meat. I'm a meatitarian. but my meals were based on a lean protein, a vegetable, and then I'll be honest with you, my carbs came from fruits. I knew that if I ate carbs are my enemy. I knew that if I ate potatoes or french fries or whatever, I mean, obviously french fries are horrible because they're fried, but I knew that if I ate those foods, it would lead me, it would trigger me to eat more of them. So I just literally stuck to whole foods. And my husband was on board. And it was perfect because at the time I was transitioning my son over to whole foods too. So we're literally, you know, I could take an avocado and mush it up and feed it to him and, you know, make good food. And I'm so bad at remembering exact timelines and timeframes and everything. But I lost 130 pounds just by doing that, by counting calories and you know, and being active is the biggest thing because, you know, weight loss is calories in, calories out. So exactly. If you can eat more, if you burn more. And so you know, I was mountain biking. My brother was huge into mountain biking and got us into mountain biking. So I just followed in his footsteps. And so I'd be mountain biking. I would be running. I did P90X. I mean, I was like balls to the wall. Again, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it all the way. Mm-hmm. And it was not sustainable, which is my fault. That's where I faulted. I was eating my 12 to 1300 calories a day. Yeah. while exercising at least twice a day.
Wow.
Yeah.
There it is. That's insane.
Yeah, it was insane. But I mean, the weight fell off. And so it encourages you to keep going and keep going and keep going. And I lost the weight, I kept going back to the Weight Watchers meetings and they're all like, oh, I want you to be a leader. You need to do this and da da da. I'm like, you don't understand. I didn't even follow your program. I'm just paying to come here. But I was like at peak perfection. Like I was loving it. I had never been thin my entire life. And for the first time I was thin. Now, yeah, I had loose skin because I weighed 278 pounds.
Of course.
But my frame, like I was thin. And so of course you're thin for the first time in your entire life. What happens? Everyone says you look sick.
Yeah.
You've lost too much weight.
I got that too. Cause I went from 492 to 192 and everybody said I look sickly.
Yeah. And I'm like, my doctor was up in arms. My doctor is like, oh my God, you're doing such a good job. And I'm like, but everyone says I look sick now. I'm like, no, they're just not used to seeing you this way.
Yeah.
You know, and then life got in the way. Work got stressful. I went through some major medical issues. And I probably way too heavily relied on that being the reason why I gained weight. Mm-hmm. And so I just kept letting it come back on. I was physically unable to work out for a while. And I told you I was working out twice a day.
Yep.
And so when I was going through physical therapy, And I couldn't do half the things that I wanted to do. I mean, I couldn't run, first of all. I couldn't bike ride.
Yeah.
I couldn't do P90X. I couldn't even get on the elliptical. Like those, my restrictions were so strict. I couldn't do any of those things. I was allowed to swim. My physical therapist said, you can swim, and that's the extent. But when you have a child at home and you're working 10-hour days, driving 2 hours a day, you know, to and from work, when does the gym fit in now when you can't, you know, fit it in where you used to fit it in?
Yeah.
And to swim, you have to physically go to the pool. I can't do P90X at home when my kid's in bed. I can't get on the elliptical. I can't run, you know? And so life got in the way. We moved, changed career. Well, I didn't change career. My husband changed career. You know, life gets in the way. And then I realized, hey, I obviously didn't get back to where I was, but I need to get back into this. Like,
yeah. This
is not for me. And it gets in your brain too. Like I was so happy when I was so fit and thin. You know, I had that drive. You eat healthy, you feel healthy. You don't have any aches and pains and all that crap just goes away. Your aches and pains are being sore from how many squats or whatever you did the day before. Like, and so, you know, I got back into it. was about a year and a half ago. I'm so bad with dates.
No, I think when I looked at your Instagram, it was about a year and a half ago, because you started really posting about like what you were doing then.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even have Instagram before that. I created it because of that. Because I live in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's more than a mile.
Which is great. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but
yeah. So I live in the middle of nowhere. I have no friends. I told you I had no friends from back in the day. I have one friend from college that lives 6-7 hours away. I literally have no one but my husband, who goes to work 8 hours a day, 9 hours a day, 10 hours. He's still at work. He's been there since 7, so almost 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
I'm by myself. And so I needed a connection to the outside world. And I found it in Instagram. My account's public, but I don't have my name on there. I don't have my job. I don't have a Facebook account because of my job, but I don't have my name or my job or anything listed on there. And so I felt like I could share with these people who I made a connection with, and how I made a connection with over 1,000 people, I have no idea.
I could tell you how. I could definitely tell you how.
But the Instagram community keeps you so accountable.
Yeah.
I would post my food. I would post my workouts. I would get all this praise and feedback and questions. And I felt like I was actually like being a part of something, even though I didn't actually know any of these people.
Yeah.
And you thrive off of that. And so, you know, I lost some more weight. I lost, I don't know, like 50 or 60 pounds, which is probably what I gained back. but I was, you know, doing really good, posting all that stuff. And, you know, it gets mundane after a while, and you feel like you don't have a purpose or a cause anymore when it's the same people seeing the same thing over and over again. And so when you let up on Instagram, you let up in real life. Mm-hmm. And then real life gets in the way again. But you know what? I'm back at it. I'm tracking my food. I'm getting my exercise in. I'm trying to focus more on things that I enjoy. So I love running. Obviously, everything is canceled now, so I can't run in any event. So mm-hmm. I feel like all my training has gone down the drain. Most biking is still on, though. So like I have this huge competition race/thing going on in November. And so I'm trying to keep up training for that. You know, my son is really into mountain biking, too. He hates running. So whenever I run, he bikes with me. Trying to get him active in that, because the sports here suck. He plays travel soccer, and I pay out the ass for it. And it's stupid. It's a bunch of snobby, stuck-up kids whose mommy and daddy think they're really good at soccer, and they're not. They just have money. And so he does that.
You're not wrong. There are some people who think their kid is like the next – superstar, and let's be a little humble.
Yeah, I mean, my kid is not an all-star, but he's above a rec soccer league, and so it's like I thought he was gonna do really good in travel soccer, and then, you know, because I don't have all the money in the world, he's sitting on the sidelines most of the game. And anyhow, so I'm trying to focus on things I really enjoy, and mountain biking is just that thing. I live, like I said, I live in the middle of nowhere, so I can hike and I can run and I can do those things. It's just sometimes the motivation's lacking. Sometimes there's a major pandemic and, you know, you take in an extra kid and your husband gets laid off and your dog of 13 years dies and things just all happen at one time. And so life gets in the way. But you know that in the back of your head, all you have to do is get back to focusing on, you know, fueling your body instead of shoving food down your throat and being more active, because it's like a downward spiral. Once you let up on one thing and then another thing, at least another thing, and before you know it, you're back to 278 pounds sitting on the sofa watching TV and eating chips and drinking diet soda, because diet soda is zero calories.
Yeah. I mean, it can happen very quickly. All it takes is letting your foot off the gas just for a little bit. And once you let that gas like kind of slip, then a lot of stuff starts to kind of backslide. And I know that for a fact.
So easily. It's so easily. Yeah.
So let's talk about the, because you live in the middle. Okay. This is how I found you. Because Jack told me about you. And then I started seeing you posting like all these like landscape, like photos, like outdoor photos. Like, I was like, where does she live? Because like every time like you go outside and take a picture, I'm just like, this is like a retreat. Like, it's just like in the middle of nowhere. And like, it's like nature is your playground.
Nature is literally my playground. I live in Central Virginia now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not anywhere near familiar with anything in Virginia.
Nope, I'm in Texas, so no.
So there's this really popular hiking trail called the Appalachian Trail. Are you familiar with that at all?
I've heard about it. It seems familiar.
So I can literally, I'm less than a mile from part of the Appalachian Trail as the crow flies. It would take me probably, like, I don't know, 5 hours or 6 hours to hike there, but because there's a mountain between us. But I live in Central Virginia. I'm about an hour south of like Charlottesville, which is a pretty popular area in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally live on the top of a mountain. My nearest neighbor is a mile away, and that's at the bottom of my driveway. My driveway is a mile long.
Wow.
So it's very private. It's very secluded. It's peaceful. It's quiet. We are the noisy ones. So, I mean, occasionally I can hear a neighbor's cow. It's really quiet outside, but I mean, birds and owls and I don't know, squirrels and woodpeckers, but mm-hmm. It's just heaven. It is literally my happy place.
When did y'all move out there? Like, how long have you lived in that area?
We moved here. Here we go with dates again. Let's see, it's been 4.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
4.5 years.
That's crazy. Because like I said, when Jack told me about you, I think it was Jack and Amanda told me about you. I was like, let me check out her Instagram. And then I was like, she lives in the middle of nowhere. She has nature as her playground. Like, she doesn't need a gym because she has her own gym outside her door.
Yeah. It's amazing. We lived about 45 minutes to an hour outside of DC, and that's a drive without traffic. Yeah. And I was driving into DC every single day, which with traffic was like an hour and a half each way. And I was absolutely miserable with the drive. with the drive. I loved my job, but I hated the drive. And I was just really fortunate. I got the opportunity to do my job from home.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, my family was selling this property that we've always wanted. And so when we purchased it, we thought it was going to be like a weekend home. And then I got the opportunity to work full time from home. And I was like, let's go. Like, we were up here one weekend and Billy and I looked at each other and we're like, why are we going home? Like, let's just move here.
Yeah.
So we did. Billy quit his job and we moved here. It took him a while to find a permanent job. He's, you know, a farmer now. But, you know, it's so much better. So when we moved here, it was our son's 8th birthday. And it was the very first birthday that Billy got to go to because he wasn't working.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Like,
that's crazy.
And, like, luckily, he didn't miss that much of his childhood because, you know, they don't remember that much.
I have a 3-year-old, so yeah.
Yeah, so Billy worked, like, 12 days a pay period, like 12 out of 14 days, and he worked crazy long hours and was never there. And so it was just the best thing. Like you see, I walk out my door and I can hike for hours without leaving my property.
Yeah.
And then if I do leave my property, I have permission to hike on the neighbor's trails too. I don't know what hunting is like down there in Texas, but we hunt like literally 50 feet from the house, 100 feet from the house. It's at the top of the trail, so maybe it's 100 yards.
Yeah.
You know, everything is right here. We ride four-wheelers. We shoot. I mean, 2 weekends ago, we were standing up at the top of the hill with golf balls and a shotgun. Like, Billy was working on his swing, and I was working on my shot. It was perfect.
Yeah.
You can't do that in the city.
No, you definitely can't. Or the cops will get called on you.
Yeah. Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so it's amazing. Yeah.
So when we last talked on the other podcast with Amanda and Jack, Amanda was asking you a lot about hunting, and that's where I got really interested, because I'm getting really interested in hunting. And I told you, like, in particular, like, bow hunting. So, like, it's something that I want to do. So, like, when she starts asking you these questions about hunting, and I was like, and you were, like, just spitting off all this information, I was like, yeah, I'm going to have her on the podcast again, because she's telling me all this stuff that I've been interested in for a while. And I'm just like, I'm learning a lot of things just from this conversation.
Yeah. I grew up hunting. Like, my mom kept us really involved in activities. Yeah. And my dad, the only thing I did with my dad was play golf and hunt.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you're going to see the redneck in me in a second here. I'm sorry, but like, we would go fishing, catfish fishing.
Mm-hmm.
We would go hunting for squirrels. We go frog gigging. And then turkey hunting when we got older, and
yep.
Deer hunting when we got older, because obviously you need bigger guns as you get bigger game.
Yep.
Like, that's just what we did with my dad. And so from a very young age, I was taught to handle guns and bow,
yeah.
And to shoot. And so that was just kind of bred into us. And you know what? That's how he was raised. And his brothers are still very avid hunters. My uncle goes on these huge hunting trips to like Alaska and Africa and Canada and crazy places. We don't do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
But like, we just grew up in a hunting family. And so you shoot the squirrel, you eat the squirrel, you shoot the rabbit, you eat the rabbit, you know, the grouse, the dove, the quail. I don't know what else. Everything.
Yeah. that's crazy. Like I said, I just like when you were talking about it to Amanda, I was like, and I got really interested. I was like, all right, I'm in, because she's talking about all the stuff that I've just been getting interested in that stuff over the last maybe year or so. So like, it's just been really, it was really fun to hear you talk about it.
Do you live somewhere where you can hunt, or you have somewhere you can go hunting?
I don't know. And that's the thing I'm still trying to figure out. Like, I'm trying to find people who are around here who like hunt. Cause I live in a smaller city, and I'm sure I can find somebody who hunts, but like, I just haven't reached out to anybody, but that's something that I have been getting interested in.
Yeah. I don't even know where you would go for that. Like, I've been so lucky my whole life, that I've had family's property that I could hunt on, and now my own property. And my husband didn't. And so, you know, but he grew up in Pennsylvania. So it was always, he was always talking about how they hunt like federal game land and stuff. So I'm sure there might be something like that down there where you can hunt federal or state land,
mm-hmm.
And not have to know someone, you know, to go hunt with or hunt on their property.
Yeah.
So maybe look into that. I mean, we have a Game and Inland Fisheries website. You guys might have something similar to that. It literally tells you where you can hunt, when you can hunt, and then, you know, go work on your shot. You don't have to have anything fancy to start out with.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have to do some more research and really like get into that, because I've been in my head, I've been talking about it. Like, I've been like, oh, I need to go do this. And then I just haven't pulled the trigger on it. So it's definitely something that I want to. I made a pun. Yeah, it's something I really want to get into. So I'm definitely going to check that out.
Yeah, I'd look into that. And like, honestly, the number one thing you can do outside of finding somewhere to go is just work on your shooting.
Yeah.
Because unless you have a good shot, like you're just going to injure an animal. I'm always one of those people that would say, I'd rather you go hunting and see it and not shoot at it than shoot at it and injure it.
Yeah.
You know, work on your shot. That's the number one thing. And be comfortable shooting.
Yeah.
Practice, practice, practice.
Well, I can learn. I can learn from a pro over here because you. You're like a best of all trades right over here. So,
jack of all, master of none.
So, is there anything else that you want to talk about on the podcast? Like, we've kind of went through everything, like all things Jacqueline. So, like, is there anything else that you think that people should know about you?
I don't know. I'm a pretty boring person. I don't know.
You're not boring. You say you're boring, but you're not.
I'm so boring.
No. That is not true.
Well, thanks. I don't know. I don't think I'm glad that you had these topics to like start the conversation because I never think of things about me and I don't think that they're interesting. Like I don't think that things are interesting and necessary to share, and then you start me talking about it and I'm like, I realize that not everyone in the world was brought up, you know, shooting.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
No, I think that a lot of people, and I will tell you that, and I think I had this conversation with you, but a lot of people get on this podcast and they're like, I don't have anything to talk about. And so like, I get on here and start talking to people about just aspects of their life that they don't realize are kind of like prevalent and out there. And so when I start talking to them about it, they're like, oh, I do have a story. And so it's just very interesting to see like where the switch just completely flips on people and they really get into it.
Yeah. And you know what, sometimes that switch of getting into it is kind of like how life is.
Yeah.
Like sometimes you don't realize that you had it in you to lose all that weight and then you start doing it and you go down a rabbit hole and you like become obsessed with it. And then that switch flips off.
Yeah. I think that's the best way to be though. Like if you're going to, like you said, if you're going to do something, like go all out and do it, like just go all in.
The only bad thing, and I'm seeing that now, if it's something that you can control and you go all in physically, but not mentally,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
No, I know I've been working on this for the last 8 months with Daryl. If your mental game is not right, then everything is game over.
Yeah. And you can tell yourself you're there mentally, but you're not.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and just sharing everything about all things Jacqueline. Like, yeah. It's been fun to really get to know you over these last two episodes I've done with you. So it's really been fun just to see who you are. And it's nice.
Thanks for having me. And like, you think of something else that I can dive into. I could talk forever.
Well, we can definitely revisit something and bring you back on and we can talk about any topic that you might have expertise in. So that'll be cool.
But I said a jack of all, expert of none. No expertise here.
You have expertise. Everybody has some kind of experience.
I can tell you how to take pictures with a camera.
Which that is something that you do very well. Because yeah, I get jealous of you. You go out in your backyard, you take a picture, you put it on your stories, and I'm like, damn it. Like, what?
Yeah, but no, absolutely. If there's anything else you want to go into, you know, let me know. Anything from, like you said, photography, hunting. I have way too many dogs. I know way too much about dogs.
You and Amanda both.
Yeah. I think we're tied. I'm down to six now. One of them died, so I'm down to six now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, anything. Kid. Just kid, not kids. I mean, I have two, but only one's mine.
Yeah.
I mean, anything. Yeah.
I want to thank Jacqueline for coming on and sharing her story. I had a lot of fun recording this episode because I did not know much about Jacqueline. Really before this episode, I knew a little bit about her, and I had a lot of fun just kind of seeing who she is. She's one of a kind. And I tell her that in the episode, because I think that somebody who has come from athletics and who's come from academics and has this drive to, like, whatever she does, she's going to do the best that she can at it. And I tell her in this episode that that is rare. Like, you don't see many people who kind of tote that line between being the student and being the athlete and really shining in both. So it was really fun to pick her brain and figure out who she is. And it's just been really fun to talk to these different people and really figure out what they're all about. And for the people who like you who are listening to the episode, I take a lot of nuggets and pearls out of all these episodes, and I really like learn things about other people, and I kind of apply that stuff to myself. So it's been a learning experience to just talk to different people over the last I don't even know how many episodes we're into right now, but over these last maybe 70 or so episodes, it's been really interesting to really learn about people and what makes them tick. And that was the kind of, you know, thing about this podcast, which is to really take people's stories and really break them down and take things out of it that I could apply to my own life or you could apply to your life. So I hope you guys enjoy this. If you want to follow Jacqueline on Instagram, you can follow Jacqueline on Instagram at Half of Jacqueline. If you want to follow me on Instagram, you can follow me on Instagram at Willie Gillis. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns for the podcast, you can email me at whatilivefor.podcast@gmail.com. And that's going to be it for this episode. Again, I thank you guys for listening. I really enjoy making these episodes with different people. And I'm going to take a break for a couple weeks, but we'll have another episode out in 2 weeks. So I will see you in 2 weeks.